Revelation 7, 9 through 12. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." The first thing I want to share with them and with you this morning is that God has a love for all peoples. He has a love for all peoples. I know that because His Word tells us He has a love for all peoples. John 3:16, probably the first verse many of us memorize as Christians. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." God's attribute, His eternal attribute of love, is demonstrated in His love for creation. It's demonstrated. It includes all peoples, in all places, in all cultures, in all socioeconomic backgrounds, in all languages. And even though we in the West tend to be exclusionary toward people who don't talk like us, who don't act like us, who don't think like us, God's love is for all peoples. And if God loves all peoples, then we must love all peoples. And sending Christ is an expression of God's love for all peoples. Romans 5:8. God shows His love. God demonstrates His love for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates His love for all peoples by sending Christ. And I want to tell you something, church, this morning. Whether you're from Premier Iglesia, or whether you're from Grace, or from ABF, if you're a Christian this morning, God will send you as an expression of His love for all peoples. Because He sent His Son as an expression of His love for us, so He will send us as an expression of His love for all peoples. God has a love for all people. And God has given a commission to reach all people. Mark 16:15, a very powerful verse. It's a restating. It's Mark's version of the Great Commission from Matthew. Mark says this, Jesus says this, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." So God has given a commission to every believer to do something. It's to preach the gospel. And God has given a commission to all believers to preach the gospel to all of creation. That means to the end of the earth. Until everyone hears, until everyone has the opportunity that we have had. Think about how many times you've heard the name Jesus. How many times you've heard the story of Jesus. At least every Christmas, at least every Easter. And it's still somewhat in our culture. It's still somewhat in the popular culture and the media. We still hear about Jesus every now and then. But we've been in villages where people have never heard the name of Jesus. I remember back in 2014, we went and visited 10 villages between the three of us. Mark and myself and David Garcia were with us. And we went in all the three villages that I visited, they've never heard about Jesus. No idea who He was. And no idea. How could they trust God if they didn't even know who God's Son was? How could they believe unless they heard? And how can they hear unless there's a preacher? And how can a preacher go unless he's sent? We just take for granted everyone knows about Jesus. Everyone knows the gospel. Everyone has access. Everyone has the same opportunities that you and I sitting in this room have had to believe in Christ. And that's not the case. Millions, I dare say billions of people have never heard the good news of Christ. And it's not their fault. It's our fault. That's on us. That's on the church. If people don't hear the gospel of Christ, it's not their fault because they live in India. It's not their fault because they live in China. It's not their fault because they live in Russia. It's our fault because God has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Instead, we just sit and hang out in church and think that someone else will do it for us. But God loves all people. And because He loves all people, He's given a commission to reach all people because there is a gospel for all people. There's a gospel for all people. Romans 1:16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." There's only two kinds of people in the world, Jews and Gentiles. And the gospel is good for both of them. So either you're a Hebrew, either you're Jewish, and the gospel is good for you because it delivers you from the law. It delivers you from having to try to obey and follow the law to be saved. It delivers you by the grace of Christ. Or you're not a Jew, and it delivers you from just being lost and having no way to get to God. The gospel is good for everybody. The gospel is good for rich. The gospel is good for poor. The gospel is good for folks that speak Spanish, for folks that speak English, for folks that speak Hindi, for folks that can't speak at all. The gospel is good for people that can read. The gospel is good for people who can't read. The gospel is for people who are rich. The gospel is for people who are poor. The gospel is for people who are religious. The gospel is for people who are atheists. The gospel is for every person, man, woman, boy, and girl that God has created. The gospel is good for them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's good news. But it's only good news if they hear it. The good news is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and raised on the third day. That's the gospel. The good news is that the gospel is the words of life. The good news is the gospel is the word of hope. The good news is the gospel of God is the power of God that accomplishes salvation by hearing and believing the gospel. We can be saved for everyone that hears and believes, but only if they hear it. God loves all people, so He's given a commission to reach all people with a gospel for all people, so that there can be a celebration of all people. We get back to Revelation 7:9-12. As John is describing this multitude of people, he says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from every tribe, from every people, from every language." What are they doing? They're glorifying God. And this is our goal. Whether we're sharing the gospel and trying to model that for people in Floyd County, or whether we're sharing the gospel and trying to model that for people in India, the goal is the same. The goal is that all people will hear and believe and glorify God. That celebration that takes place around the throne, that celebration that's comprised of people from every nation. We think of some nations and we automatically have a predisposition toward them. You've heard political candidates talk about other countries, bias against, bias for. Christians, we don't have that luxury. Regardless of who you vote for on Tuesday, we don't have the luxury of dismissing people, saying, "Well, they're not worthy of hearing the gospel." Because guess what? We're not worthy of hearing the gospel. But God was gracious to us. God was gracious to us while we were yet sinners. God didn't reach out through Christ to people who were good and obedient and were seeking Him. He reached out to people who were wretched, rebellious sinners who didn't want any part of Him by sending His Son. So before you and I get all high and mighty about America being a Christian nation, which is in doubt at this point, God loves all nations. There are people from every nation around the throne. Yeah, even the ones we don't like, there are people from that nation. There are people from Syria. There are people from China. There are people from Russia. There are people from North Korea. Gathered around the throne, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. People from every nation, from every tribe. This is every nation, every tribe, every tongue. A lot of us have this mental image that because the Bible was written in King James English, right? It wasn't, by the way. But because the Bible, we can read the Bible in English, we just or Spanish. We just assume that that's the language they're singing around the throne. And folks, there's going to be so many languages, so many different beautiful languages. You heard four or five of them during that song today. There will be folks who can't speak a lick of English singing praise to God in the only language they can speak. There will be folks who can't speak at all singing praise to God. Every people, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And this is our goal. Every tribe, every caste, every language. Because what are they shouting? Verse 10. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's the end result. That's why you and I are here this morning. Not only in this room, but the reason we're drawing breath, the reason our hearts are beating, is because God has saved us and brought us to Himself so that we might glorify Him and so that the nations might hear and believe and they might glorify Him. Understand that with all the benefits that we get out of being saved, the chief end of man is to glorify God. God saved us so that we would glorify Him and give Him praise. And that's what it's all about. That's why we raised and spent thousands of dollars to go to India. That's why we sacrifice our time and our money and risk being ill and risk being persecuted. Because it's all about God's glory. It's all about God's glory. There's a part for everyone to play in this, and I'll share that with you real quick. Early on in our church formation, we knew a couple things right off the bat. We knew that we wanted to preach through God's Word one verse at a time and expository preaching. And we wanted to adopt an unreached people group because we wanted to be a church that exists to plant other churches, because we believe that that's God's biblical New Testament model for the church, is that the church grows and reproduces and sends out men to lead and become elders and to serve. And we want to adopt an unreached people group because at that time I think there were 10 or 11 of us. But we knew God was big enough. God was big enough. So God led us through prayer. 7.2 million people. I say, how is a church with 10 people, 11 people, how are they going to reach 7.2 million people halfway across the world? How are they going to do it? Well, it's real easy. We're not. God is. And God will use our faithfulness and our little resources, because little with God is much. And much with man is very little. We want to see people have access to the gospel. We want to see all South Asians have access to the gospel. We want to see all South Asians believe on Christ. We want to see South Asian believers sharing the gospel with other friends and neighbors and villagers, just like we encourage our folks to do here. We are not going to reach all of India with the gospel, but God will. And He'll use Indians to do it. And He'll use us to be a catalyst and an encouragement and training resource to help them to do the work that God's called them to do. It's not our job to show up in India and lead the whole country to Christ. It's our job to be obedient to what God has called us to do, to equip the people that God has saved there, because they're the ones who are going to reach their country, just like we're the ones who are going to reach our country. We want to see believers sharing with other people because it's difficult to get where they are. We were on the best highway and for several hours. The pothole's about the size of your car. That's not even an exaggeration. I don't think there was a smooth stretch of road for more than a mile or two in that whole 9 or 10 hours that we were on the road. It's difficult to get there. It's expensive to get there. It's time-consuming to get there. There's a ton of preparation that goes into it. If you're considering, praying about, thinking about, inquiring about going to South Asia, it's going to cost. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you time. You're going to have to get off of work. You're going to have to get shots. You're going to get trained. It is an investment. But it's worth it. It's worth it when we see believers. It's worth it when we seek our churches. It's worth it when we see our villages who used to worship idols, who used to sacrifice and toil and superstition, work their whole lives with no connection to a real God, come to Christ and know the real living God and worship Him. It is worth it. If one person hears and believes the gospel, it's worth everything that everybody in this room has. We pile it up together and put it in a pile and send it. It's worth it. It is worth everything because God is worthy of our glory. He desires for all people to glorify Him. He desires for all people to worship Him. He loves all peoples. He has a commission to reach all peoples. He has a gospel that's good for all people. And He has already ordained that there is a celebration for all people. You and I take for granted we're going to be part of. But there are billions and billions of others who we want to see there too. That's why we do what we do. That's the goal. The glory of God. The worship of God. That's why God's worthy. God's worthy of all.